Welcome to another deep dive with us. This time, we are journeying back to ancient Israel. We're going to be taking a look at the fall of the Northern Kingdom
Okay.
and picturing Samaria, their last stronghold,
Right.
under siege by the mighty Assyrian army. It's a moment of truth. And we're going to be uncovering what led to this downfall and, more importantly, what we can learn from it today.
Yeah, it's a story full of intrigue and faith and the consequences of choices made when you're under pressure.
Yeah, exactly. And we have some incredible source material to guide us on this. We have excerpts from a lecture by Dr. John Oswalt, who's a leading expert on the Book of Kings.
Okay.
And we also have a passage from the Book of Isaiah, a prophet who lived through these times. So get ready for some thought-provoking insights, I think,
I think so, yeah.
as we explore the reign of King Hoshea, whose name ironically means Yahweh saves.
It is striking. The irony of that name, when you consider that he ends up leading his people to certain destruction. But what's interesting is that according to the historical accounts, he's actually described as less evil than many of the kings that came before him.
That's right. Dr. Oswald even suggests that Hoshea might have turned away from idolatrous practices
Interesting.
that had plagued Israel for centuries. Now, for those unfamiliar with the term, it refers to the worship of gods other than Yahweh, which was a major point of contention throughout Israel's history.
Yes.
But what makes you wonder, was this a true change of heart from Hoshea, or was it just like a last-ditch effort to try and avoid the inevitable?
It's a question that really gets to the heart of human nature, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Dr. Oswalt makes this really fascinating point
Yeah.
about how sometimes we can be stuck in patterns of behavior for so long that true repentance, a genuine turning away from those patterns,
Right.
becomes incredibly difficult.
That's so true.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we can probably all relate to that feeling of being stuck in a rut, even when we know it's not good for us.
Absolutely. And I think it speaks to that kind of inherent human struggle between wanting to be in control, right?
Yeah.
And surrendering to something bigger than ourselves.
Right.
And this kind of brings us back to Hoshea's rebellion against Assyria.
Yes, let's talk about that because honestly, it seems like a pretty illogical move.
It does.
I mean, the Assyrian Empire was known for its ruthlessness and military strength. Why risk everything in a fight that, you just can't win? Wouldn't it have been wiser to try and negotiate or find some other way out?
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But Dr. Oswalt suggests that this act of defiance actually reveals a very deep-seated human flaw.
No.
He calls it this fear of surrendering to a higher power. It's this desperate attempt to cling to control even when it's clearly not working.
Yeah.
It's like we would rather fail on our own terms
Oh, yeah.
and succeed by letting go.
It's so true.
So what are your thoughts on that?
Wow. It's a powerful point. I think we see this play out in so many areas of life, not just on a grand historical scale.
Right.
How often do we, like, dig our heels in, refusing to admit we need help
Yeah.
or admit that we might be wrong?
Oh, for sure.
It's almost as if we would rather just go down swinging than admit defeat.
Precisely. And that raises a really interesting question, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is all revolution inherently wrong?
Yeah.
Is all rebellion inherently wrong? Dr. Oswalt touches upon this by mentioning John Wesley,
Okay.
the founder of Methodism, and his strong condemnation of the American Revolution.
That's a pretty bold statement, especially considering, the ideals of freedom and self-determination that we usually associate with the American Revolution.
Right.
It definitely makes you think, though.
It does.
When is resistance to authority justified?
Yeah.
Is there ever a point where fighting back, even if the odds are stacked against you, is the right thing to do?
It's tough.
What do you think?
I mean, it's such a complex issue, isn't it? There's no easy answers. And I'd be so curious to hear what our listeners think about this. But just going back to Hoshea for a second, I think his story really challenges us to kind of examine our own motives,
For sure.
Are we truly seeking what's right, or are we simply clinging to control even when it ultimately leads to destruction?
Wow. Yeah, it's fascinating, right, how this ancient story just has all these parallels to today.
Right.
But while we're on this topic of rebellion and control, let's maybe shift our focus to another perspective on Hoshea's reign.
Okay.
We have a passage from the prophet Isaiah, who, was right around the same time that all of this was going down.
Right.
And he doesn't hold back, I gotta say.
No, he doesn't.
Isaiah 28 is a powerful and in some places a pretty unsettling critique of Israel's leaders.
It is.
He paints this very vivid picture of the nation's elite, the princes, the priests, even the prophets, as drunkards.
Yeah.
And he uses all this imagery like vomit and broken wreaths to really drive home the point that something is very wrong.
Yeah, it's strong imagery.
Very strong imagery. It makes you wonder if he was talking about literal drunkenness or if there's something, you know, a little more to it.
I think you hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah.
It's highly likely that Isaiah was using drunkenness as, you know, like a metaphor for the spiritual state of Israel's leaders.
Okay.
They were so caught up in their own power. And they were so used to just kind of ignoring God's truth that they had become blind to the reality going on around them.
So how does this spiritual drunkenness, like how does it show itself? What are the signs that someone might be in this state?
Well, Isaiah points out a few key characteristics.
It's okay.
First, there's this inability to make sound judgments.
Right.
Like their moral compass is completely skewed and they can no longer tell the difference between what's right and what's wrong.
Mm.
They become self-indulgent, you know, putting their own needs before the needs of the people they're supposed to be leading.
Right.
And then there's this loss of balance.
Oh.
Literally and figuratively. They're stumbling around both morally and in terms of their leadership.
Yeah.
And they're leading the entire nation toward destruction.
So it's like they're living in a bubble.
Yeah.
Totally detached from like the consequences of their actions.
Exactly.
And what's interesting to me is this idea of spiritual drunkenness that doesn't just apply to ancient Israel, does it?
Not at all.
Right.
I think Isaiah's message has this very timeless quality.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes you think about what are the modern day equivalents of spiritual drunkenness?
Mm.
How do we become even today, you know, so intoxicated by our own ideas, our own desires,
right,
that we just lose sight of what really matters?
It's a sobering thought, you know,
it
makes me think about how easy it is to just get caught up in our own little echo chambers.
Yeah.
You know, surrounding ourselves with people who just tell us what we want to hear.
Right.
We become so fixated on like winning an argument or proving our point.
Oh, yeah.
That we just miss the bigger picture.
Exactly. And that's exactly Isaiah's point. You know, he's trying to give everyone this wake up call.
Hmm.
Like he's urging people to kind of sober up and see reality for what it is.
Yeah.
He's calling for humility.
Okay.
A willingness to admit that we could be wrong, you know.
Right.
That we don't have all the answers.
It's about being open, I guess, to, you know, challenging our own assumptions.
Yeah.
Being willing to learn from people who see things differently.
Yes, absolutely. And it's also about recognizing that clinging to control.
Right.
Refusing to surrender to something bigger than ourselves.
Yeah.
That can ultimately lead to our downfall.
It's a profound lesson for sure.
It is.
And it applies whether we're talking about, you know, ancient kings or our own personal struggles.
Yeah.
So it all comes back to that very powerful question that Isaiah asks. Are we truly awake to the condition of our own souls?
Yeah.
How do we even begin to answer that question? How do we even know if we've fallen into this trap of spiritual drunkenness?
Mm. Yeah, that's the real question, right? How do we even know if we're spiritually drunk?
Right.
As Isaiah puts it, it feels like, I don't know, like trying to find a blind spot. You know what I mean?
It is a great analogy, and it's not easy.
Right.
But the fact that we're even asking that question is a really good start.
Yeah.
It shows that we're willing to, you know, kind of self-reflect, which is really important.
Yeah.
I think one practical step is to maybe get in the habit of reflecting regularly, even if it's just taking a few minutes each day to quiet our minds and really think about, you know, what are our motives?
So it's about being more intentional, you think, with our thoughts and our actions.
Exactly.
You know, like ask yourself these tough questions like, what am I really trying to do here? Is this coming from, you know, fear or ego? Or is this coming from a place of wanting to do the right thing?
Yeah.
Am I really listening to other people? Or am I just waiting for my turn to speak?
Mm.
You know, these are the kinds of questions that can help us see those blind spots.
Right, right. It's like holding up a mirror, you know.
Yeah.
And forcing yourself to see those parts of yourself that maybe you're not so proud of.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it takes like a lot of honesty and humility.
You're right. It's not always comfortable.
Right.
But that's really where the growth comes from, you know?
Right, yeah.
And remember, we don't have to do this alone.
Yeah.
Seeking wise counsel, surrounding ourselves with people who will, you know, challenge us,
right.
offer different perspectives, that can be so valuable.
It's like having a spiritual accountability partner, almost.
I love that.
Right, someone to kind of help keep you on track and call you out when you, you know, start going off course.
Exactly. And it's important to remember that this is a journey, you know? It's not like you arrive somewhere and then you're done.
Right.
We're all going to stumble. We're all going to mess up.
For sure.
The important thing is that we keep getting back up, we keep learning, and we keep trying to, you know, align our lives with those core values.
Yeah.
Truth, submission to something bigger than ourselves, trust in a plan.
Right.
That goes beyond, you know, what we can see right in front of us.
It's about trusting the process even when things are messy.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have all the answers.
Yeah.
Which I think is really hard for a lot of people.
It is.
But it's so important.
It is.
And it's a good reminder that even in the midst of failure, even in the midst of bad decisions, there's always that chance to, you know, start over.
Beautifully said.
To make things right.
Yeah. And, you know, the story of Israel's downfall, as tragic as it is,
right.
it does offer this message of hope. It reminds us that, yeah, the choices we make have consequences, but it also highlights this, you know, amazing potential that we all have for transformation, for renewal.
It's a call to action, isn't it?
It is.
Like Isaiah's like reaching through time and being like, hey, wake up, pay attention. The choices you make today,
right?
Those are the things that shape, you know, not only your life, but the lives of the people around you, even generations to come.
Wow. What a powerful way to put it.
Yeah.
So as we kind of wrap up this deep dive, maybe we can leave our listeners with this final thought.
Okay.
What areas of your life might need a reality check?
Mm.
Are there any patterns of, you know, this spiritual drunkenness that you need to address? Just take some time to think about it, quiet the noise, and really ask yourself, you know, are you truly awake to the condition of your own soul?
It's a big question.
It is.
To think about. Yeah. And I hope that this deep dive has given you some good tools and insights.
I hope so, too.
To help you, you know, as you're on this journey.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
For another deep dive into the ideas that matter.